Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We are making significant inroads in Secretary Clinton's lead. And we have, with your support coming here in Wisconsin, we have a path toward victory.
I'm voting for Bernie Sanders, making the middle class stronger economically.
The only guy that's really standing up for us, the average person, is Bernie Sanders.
The system is broken, and there's really only one candidate that will not try to go incremental change. We'll try to make a lot of change at once. That's what I want to see. And we're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. We're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. Gonna let it burn, 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 burn. We're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. We don't wanna leave.
That is the very viral Bernie Sanders who undoubtedly approved that message. This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Bernie's Big Mo.
We have the momentum, and I think a lot of the superdelegates are now beginning to look at which Democratic candidate is in the best place to defeat Donald Trump. I think some of them are beginning to understand that it's Bernie Sanders.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has won decisive victories in Democratic caucuses in Washington State, Alaska, and Hawaii, winning 73, 82, and 71% of the votes, respectively. He scored real delegates, got legitimate media attention, and can claim momentum. But what do the Sanders numbers actually say about the chances he could overtake rival Hillary Clinton? Is this peak Bernie or Lord Sanders in an impregnable second-place castle? Farai Chidea, a senior writer at 538, says that second-place fortress is looking pretty secure right now.
First of all, it's completely notable that, you know, he has strengthened his second place in the delegate count. So it's still a delegate game. And so Clinton is holding a delegate lead of, 1234 to 956 over Sanders, according to the Associated Press. And if you include superdelegates, Clinton has just over 1,700 delegates. It takes 2,383 delegates to be the Democratic nominee. So Sanders, it has really increased his standing as a second place, candidate, but he's still in second place. And the thing is, what happened with these past weekend races is a continuation of a trend, which is that he's had a 10 caucus sweep over the past 10 caucuses. He does incredibly well in caucuses, and some people think that that's partly because of his style. The fact that he has passionate support, caucuses rely on people who are willing to stand on their feet, be persuasive. It's not just, it's kind of like 12 angry men. It's more
the jury room.
It's not like just walking into a ballot booth with your own silent thoughts. It's about, politics is debate. And so Sanders has done incredibly well. But the delegate math and the question of superdelegates is still a big one. So Sanders is also now starting to float the argument that superdelegates should switch from Clinton to him, which is reminiscent of the 2008 race where Barack Obama was able to get some of the pledged delegates who were black members of the Congressional Black Caucus to switch support to him after pledging it to Clinton.
Well, it's an interesting comparison because if you look at 2008, there was this discussion at this part of the campaign going forward to the convention of who's the stronger candidate and should the party basically decide who's the stronger candidate and go with that stronger candidate. Then Barack Obama made it moot by getting a majority of the delegates.
Yeah.
Does Bernie Sanders, even if Hillary Clinton gets a majority of the delegates here, regardless of what the superdelegates do, can he make the argument that Hillary Clinton is a weak candidate to go up against the GOP challenger?
There's a couple of different factors in that. First of all, you can make any argument you want in politics, as we can tell from this race. You can say the moon is made of green cheese, and we reporters will fact check that. But if you choose to say it, you can still say it. But I think that what is becoming increasingly troubling to some people who are hardcore Democrats is that there seems to be a drop off in a certain amount of civility, like even measurable by do Sanders and Clinton call each other to congratulate each other after victories? There seems to be a distancing process between the two campaigns who were so cordial before. And so I think if Sanders makes that argument, it's going to be a scorched earth policy argument. I'm not saying he shouldn't make it because I'm not in his campaign, but the Democratic Party may not be enthusiastic about that kind of argument.
Let's go broad then here. If Trump's the nominee, and if Bernie has to be shown the door, and Clinton maintains her huge majority with African Americans, and the Bernie Sanders supporters, who are largely white, stay home, this becomes a black versus white presidential election campaign with a Latino component in there. That's a very interesting issue.
Yeah, but I also think there's, for example, white women who are GOP-leaning but pro-choice, they may not vote. They may stay home, just based on my reporting and also based on some polling. So I think that there's some wild cards in there beyond just race.
The stay-home wild cards could hand it to either party. Farai Jadeh, senior writer at 538, thanks so much.
Thanks, John.